It's Sound Ideas. I'm Mike McCurdy. Last week, Transparency International revealed a discouraging trend in its annual U.S. corruption barometer. The watchdog group noted that Americans are growing more cynical regarding corruption and are expressing greater concern about wrongdoing within the U.S. government. A just-released book by a pair of Illinois State University professors takes a fresh look at the ongoing problem of corruption and its impact from the ground up. GLT's Laura Kennedy has more.
The dark underbelly of corruption is exposed as two Illinois State University professors have teamed up to edit a book that's as timely as it is enlightening. Nancy Lind from Politics and Government and Kara Raby Hemp from Criminal Justice have produced Corruption, Accountability and Discretion, which reaches across disciplines into research on corruption, exploring gerrymandering, vote buying, sexual harassment, and more, in order to explore how corruption impacts public policymakers and the average citizen, who Nancy Lind says recoils from the corrosive touch of corruption.
Well, we were finding that a lot of citizens were stopping coming to the polls, not voting, having a lot of criticisms about Congress and the presidency because they felt like whatever they did didn't matter because the politicians were all so corrupt that they had their votes bought, for example, before the election, and citizens just kind of felt left out of the picture. So we wanted to delve into when this corruption first started and the kind of impacts it's had on public policymaking.
So when did this start?
I think corruption has been around as long as government. Anytime individuals or people influence it, there's corruption in influence. And so it's really interesting to think about how discretion of individual decision makers then leads to this idea of corruption. And then how do we increase accountability?
Well, where does the impulse to be corrupt actually come from? Is that something innate in some people, or does being in a particular system naturally bring that about? Nancy, can you talk about that?
I mean, I guess I think that individuals, the more power they have and the more discretion that they are granted, the greater the likelihood to sometimes accidentally abuse that power.
What do you mean accidentally?
Overstepping their boundaries without necessarily knowing that, and then realizing, wait a minute, I got away with that. Perhaps it's something I can continue doing, and then becoming more conscious about engaging in probably not illegal actions, but certainly what most of us would call unethical actions.
What exactly does corruption do to our government? Is it wholly corrosive?
Mm-hmm. I would say it does have a corrosive impact, not only on public policy and the policies that are passed that impact the lives of everyday citizens, but also political stability and the influence that citizens can have on our governmental system. And finally, in our democratic institutions, where people typically go to participate in government, all of those institutions have seen the corrosive impact of corruption.
And I think it also leaves citizens much more cynical. People who might be willing to run for office see the degrees of corruption in the legislative, executive, or even judicial branches, and they think, well, if it's all going to be corrupt, I'm not going to be able to make a difference if I go there, so I'm going to instead move into the nonprofit sector and try to work around the government instead of through the government.
So cynicism leads to people feeling disenfranchised.
Another aspect of that is it also undermines the effectiveness of our political system. So the ability for us to get the work done that needs to be done in our political system is undermined through corruption. One of the chapters looks at wars, right, and how we finance wars. So from that to public policy such as crime, we see that it undermines the effectiveness of our ability as a government to get the work done that we need to do.
All right, but is it possible that corruption actually is necessary in order to get some things done? And I'm going to reach back into the 19th century and mention Tammany Hall, which actually focused on helping poor people, particularly immigrants, particularly Irish immigrants especially. Is corruption actually necessary in order to help?
I don't think Tammany Hall is the degree of corruption we saw today. With Tammany Hall, it was much more just leakage of information where, you know, the slogan was, I've seen my opportunities and I took them. So basically they had some forward-looking information on which land might be available. They found that out through probably what we'd use as social media today, but through the grapevine. Back in the 19th century, And when they had a reason to believe that government might pay a higher price for a piece of land, and they owned that land, or they could purchase the land and make a profit on it, politicians were willing to do so. Now we see much more outright graft that's occurring, where literally one of the chapters talks about vote buying. You provide enough money for my campaign, and when one of your interests comes before the floor of the House or the Senate, I pretty much will guarantee that that policy will be passed.
That's Illinois State University professors Nancy Lind and Kara Raby Hemp. Their book is Corruption, Accountability, and Discretion. I'm Laura Kennedy.
Lind and Hemp are currently at work on a follow-up book on social protest and its growing place as an agent of change. You're listening to Sound Ideas.